How has your Advent been so far? You know, Advent is a time that we prepare our hearts for the birth of our Savior. However, not only do we prepare our hearts, but it's also a time that we adjust our eyes to see light where there seems to be none. We're preparing our hearts, but also preparing our eyes to see that there is light where we didn't think there was any. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Hear the words of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What an amazing story. What an amazing way to bring the Savior of the world to the earth. Well, I know this is going to sound a little... I know we have not been singing Christmas carols, but in my car, you know, it's not church. They've been playing for a long time. One of my all-time favorite CDs, yes, I have a CD player in my car. Some of you probably are a little bit jealous because, you know, you can just... But one of my favorite Christmas CDs was done by an artist named Sarah Grove. And Sarah Grove had this way of taking all of these wonderful carols that we've known, and she changes... She doesn't change the words, but she changes the tune. I love that. And here's one of the reasons I love it. Well, number one, I've listened to it a million times, so I can sing right along with her. I'm in with her new tunes and everything. However, when we change the tune, we really have to pay attention to the words and what the words say. But in the midst of one of her songs, her son, who is about 4 years old at the time that this CD was made, reads this scripture. And so, when I hear verse 37 that says, "For nothing will be impossible with God," I hear it through the mouth of a four-year-old. When I hear, "How can this be?" I hear it with the voice of this four-year-old. It's a marvelous way, because sometimes I get so caught up in reading this scripture. I've been reading it for most of my life, or at least hearing it, and I can skip over some words, and I can skip over phrases. But when it's sung to a new tune, when it's told through a new voice, I pay attention. The first thing that I, well, maybe it's not the first, but it will be for today's purposes. The first is in verse 29. But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The word ponder for us, I think, means, I'm going to think about that tonight. I'm going to think about that for a while. However, that is a more modern translation. The original word that was in there didn't really mean I'm just going to casually think about it. The word meant that Mary was bewildered. So ponder is not the best choice, but it gets my attention because it's a word that I don't say it very often. Do you? Well, if you do, you haven't said it around me. I haven't heard any of you use the word ponder for a while. But it got my attention, and it reminds me that Mary was bewildered. She was perplexed, which is a much better translation because we can understand that, right? Can you understand what that means? When she says, how can this be? That again, I hear through the voice of a four-year-old, how can this be? That's true perplexion. And it also makes it so that Mary has to have an obedient response. If so, it changes her to astonishment. So, what about us in our lives? I can't even imagine that there are too many people sitting in this room with me today who at some point in their time have, in their life, in your life, in our lives, have not been astonished or bewildered. Those times when it doesn't feel right and I don't know what to do, it may be right, it may be the right thing, and if God said it, if the angel said it, then it truly is the right thing. But yet, has it happened to you? If it's happened to you at any point in your time, in your life, then we get it. We get what Mary is saying. And are we okay with that? Well, we don't have much choice. This happened a long time ago. And yet, I've always been told that one of the best ways to read Scripture is to read ourselves into it. What if I were Mary? What if I were the angel that had to go deliver that message? What if I were Joseph? What if? And yet, Mary, this young woman, according to studies, Mary could have ranged anywhere from age 12 to age 16, but not beyond that. Now, I know it was a completely different time and people had to grow up quicker. However, that still leaves maybe a 16-year-old with this message. But Mary is here for us because she models discipleship. She is a role model for all of us. She has become the servant of God, and she embodies faithfulness, well, the way few people ever do. Because according to this scripture, she doesn't get angry. She asks, how can this be? And I am perplexed. I'm bewildered. She reminds us that to be a servant of God, which is what all of us are called to do, contains faithfulness. In verse 38, then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And then the angel departed. Do those words sound just a touch familiar? Do they remind us of anything? You know that the answer to that is, yeah, it's supposed to remind us of something. And I hope you're kind of going through a Rolodex in your head. I wonder what that reminds me of. And maybe you didn't think of this. But in chapter 22 of Luke, verse 42, as Jesus is headed toward his crucifixion, he says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." The Son is modeling his mother. I love that. I love that reminder that both of them said, "Okay, here we go. It's not what I would have chosen. It's not what I like. It's not, but I will be obedient. I will be humble, and I will trust you, Almighty God." Again, those things happen to us in everyday life, don't they? Those times when it wasn't really anything we did or we said, and yet we are in a completely different place. And we don't have any choice except to say, "Okay, let's go. I'm going to go scared. I'm going to go not understanding what's happening, but I'm ready to go." Christian discipleship at its best. "Here am I," she says in verse 28. "Here am I." So, what would that be like for you if you had an experience to know that God favors you? Because this is what I believe. I believe that that is true of every single person in this room. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it feels like just as you're making some progress, you get sent back like in Monopoly. Have you ever played Monopoly with my sister? With my father? With, well, my niece? It's brutal. It is brutal. And sometimes they work just for that chance that you're going to land on that square and they will wipe you out. I think sometimes that's what this feels like. This is hard to be the favored one. It's not just sitting around letting people wait on you, but it's an action that I am asked to do by God. And here's the good news. God doesn't leave any of us out of that. Now, we're not asked to do the same thing, but God asks us all to do something. And it isn't just to prove our love of God, but it's to help others understand the love of God. I'm doing this because I believe this is what God wants me to do. What do you think God wants you to do? It won't be the same. And there are so many different levels. The things that Mary was asked, the thing that Jesus was asked, that's monumental. But sometimes God asks us so we can say, here am I. Let me do what you ask me to do. And sometimes in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about what it's like to be helpful and to be the hands and feet of Christ in the regular world. Sometimes it's as much as just saying, "You know what? You need that. Take it. I don't need it." Whether it's a little bit of money, whether it's a lot of money sometimes, whether it's to borrow my car, go ahead. I've been so blessed to have friends who would just say, "You know what? I heard that you don't have any place to live next year in seminary. We have an extra room. Do you want to live with us?" Do you know what that feels like? To be so desperate and not to know where I'm going to live next semester, and then to have somebody out of the blue say, and you just know, it's God saying, "See, I told you. I was going to take care of you. Because while Mary is the favored one in this, I was taught to believe that God looks at every single one of us with favor. Now, I know it doesn't feel like it sometimes, and I know sometimes I want to say, you know, God, maybe if you could favor me just a little bit less, or favor me in a different way. But yet, God knows. Mary moved from this, how can this be, to her statement that says, let it be with me according to your word. And it's what has happened in these past few weeks. We have moved from Advent, where we're preparing our hearts and we're preparing our minds and we're preparing our world for the Savior to be born, until we get to Christmas. That's what Advent truly is about. It's helping us remember. It's not always knowing, and it's not getting everything we want right away, but there's a reason for it. Mary is not just a pawn in life, but she is a role model for us. And she's a role model that takes us through Advent. Advent moves us all from who we think we are to what God calls us to be. Let me not mess that up this time. Advent moves us all from who we think we are to what God calls us to be. And this is the promise of Christmas. Each week, we looked at the four different facets, at the hope of Christmas, at the peace of Christmas to come, of joy of Christmas, and the love of Christmas. A.W. Tozer said, nobody has ever seen God, but when Jesus came, he showed us what God is like, and now we're ready. Next Sunday is the day. Through this week, dear God, help us to remember that in Advent, we remember that God is hope for the world to live in peace with each other, so that joy in our hearts transforms into love for all of God's creation. May we echo Mary. Here am I. Let it be so. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.